Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Ishlabel Nabiah, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Shalabo Day Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you sons and daughters of Shalabo now entering sanctuary. I have a privilege and honor to present to you Sonny Shalabo, Deacon Bill.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is The Confusion Brought Forth by the Seven Hills of Rome. In the very divided states of America, the very not Supreme Court legalized sodomy. This, of course, was endorsed by the Vatican. The name of one of the hills that this city, Rome, sits on gives away what this bill is about, and that's the Quirinal Hill. Now, very recently, the Pope was sent with another letter, and this time it's about spirit. This attachment to the law makes one ignore the Holy Spirit. It does not allow the power of Christ's redemption to come forth with the Holy Spirit. This was the problem with these people. They ignored the Holy Spirit and did not know how to go forward. They were closed in requirements. Do this, do that. Well, if you turn to Isaiah 59, we'll see that the law is the Spirit. Isaiah 59 and verse 21. And as for me, this is the covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit which is upon you, namely my laws. So notice it says, the spirit which is upon you, namely my laws, which I have put into your mouth, they will not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed, nor from the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, for this time forevermore. For our second witness, turn to Yochanan 6, and verse 63. Notice it says, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are the spirit. It doesn't say this attachment to the law ignores the Holy Spirit. It says the laws are the spirit. Closed in requirements. I guess you would call it that if you wanted the worldly freedom. On your freedom ticket that you get when you leave the house of Yahweh, you can have a free trip to go burn in hell if that's what you want. But as for the house of Yahweh, we will serve Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The Pope said the rigid people who keep the laws are sick. No, it's the ones who break the laws who are sick. That's the sick ones. Psalm says, great peace are they who know your law. And as for the lawbreakers, NATO is just war? Yeah, it's just war. That's all. It's not just war. There's no justice in it. It's just war. Now, with the computer was invented in 1934, just as prophesied in Daniel 12, verse 4. Where Daniel 12, verse 4 says, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Now, with the use of the computer and internet, the wars are advanced from Cain's time when spears and swords were used to the early cannons and guns to now where bombs, tanks, planes, submarines, aircraft, carriers, and other missiles and other technology is used. Now, the Vatican wants us to ignore the law and to fight. This has been the same idea since Cain's time. If you'll turn to Genesis 4, verse 14. It says, surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face, which means I shall not take on the face of Yahweh. Pastor explained this. It means I shall not take on the face of Yahweh. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, for there shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. The Vatican has once again sent their mouthpiece, Francis, to act all merciful when his system is killing through abortion, sodomy, and other sins legalized in courts all over the world. The Pope addresses his followers at Ash Wednesday Mass. We should heed the scriptures, Francis said. Maybe you should heed these scriptures, those true scriptures, and maybe you should listen to what they say. Yesterday, on March 3rd, the Pope was saying that true fasting is helping others. What's helping others is when you keep Yahweh's laws. That's how you can help others. The Pope asked followers at his mass, if they are merciful. Well, he's quite one person to ask that, since he nor his leaders are merciful. So he says prayer changes lives. And yes, if the whole world would repent and pray to Yahweh, sickness and disease would stop. But the Vatican will not repent. If you'll turn to Matthew 24 and verse 4, it says, Yeshua answered and said to them, Be on guard so that no man deceives you. That's be on guard that no pope deceives you, no person, for many will come against my name, saying, I am anointed to preach salvation, and will deceive many, saying, Oh, law keepers are sick. Turn to 1 Kefa 5. If you turn to 1 Kefa 5, page 960. In verse 8 it says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom she may devour. In this world, ever since the apostles were killed, we saw wars. The stupid, insane decisions made by our leaders today would have never been advised by any prophet or apostle. The Pope had also said yesterday that those who keep God's laws are mentally ill and in need of the Lord's help. He sounds like he's contradicting himself, because the word Lord means God and the word God means Lord. So these are the same, so I'm not quite sure. We're not quite sure what he's talking about. The traditions that is taught by the divining serpent, like Christmas and the flying reindeer. I guess, have you ever seen one of those flying reindeer? Didn't know they existed. If they've never been seen, how do they know they exist? I mean, this world is in trouble. So let us learn what to teach so we can teach what we've learned, so that we can teach the 2 billion the truth about Yahweh's laws. And with that, if you'll please stand.
Son of Israel Abel, the great deacon Yaakov Hawkins. Shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today, I'll be talking a little bit about the gathering that Yahweh has here at Abel. Alright, and how Yahweh uses different people here and there to fulfill parts of his plan. Alright, so let's get right into it today. Here you see, this button isn't working. You can see here Vladimir K. Zworkin. He was a Russian inventor. He was born here July 29th. Then it says old style July 17th, 1888. Now, what does old style mean? Well, that's not just a coincidence. It's rare to see this in any of Wikipedia's articles, but that was the Russian date, July 17th of 1888. Now, what's so significant about July 17th? Well, let's look at July 17th in Strong's Hebrew. July 17th, 717, and it means to gather. Alright, gather, gathered. And then 1888 was when radio waves were first discovered, which was brought out, and also they used radio waves to see when they first discovered the nebula. That was in 1888 as well. All right, and that was the woman who saw it in Scotland. It was in 1888. Now, remember the waves in Scotland that was brought out with Pastor in the waves? I had a slide on it, but the Pastor was in the waves, and the waves was showing the gathering. It was the gathering of people. They would see it, not only the physical waves that they saw Pastor on, but also the radio waves that led to the television. All right, so here on the second page of this article, it says, October 23rd, 1931, it was decided that the new camera tube would be named the Iconoscope. The system was ready to be launched at the end of 1934. All right, so you see the Iconoscope, which was part of the television, it was to be used, or they were building it for 1934. It would be ready at 1934. But it began in 1923. As you can see here, the invention of the television timeline, 1923. It starts in 1923. You see here, 1923. Also right here, 1923. Vladimir Zworykin, who trained under Rosen at St. Petersburg Institute of Technology, filed a patent application, and there's number 214159, for that would later be mistakenly referred to as the Iconoscope. All right. Also, in this article, you see the invention of the Iconoscope, the first electronic television camera, 1923. So, remember what Pastor was saying about breaking up the numbers. You look up 1923, but you also look up 23. So, if you look at 23, Hebrew 23, it means, my father has gathered. All right? Right there, my father has gathered. Now, that patent date, or the patent number, as you saw in this article here, 214159. That was the patent number. All right, and 2141 in the Hebrew, it means to be bright, to clean and pure. And then 2141 in the Greek, it means to prosper. It goes to this word here, Greek, hetoimazo, which goes to Greek 2090. It means to prepare. I make ready, prepare. Also, you see here, prepare, prepared. It goes to Greek 2680, which is to prepare. I build, construct, make ready. And what Yahweh's saying here is he's making ready this gathering. And then the last number here, 2141, then it has 59. Number 59 in the Hebrew means able. All right, there you see able. Hebrew 59, able. So what Yahweh is showing here is he was preparing this for his work at Abel. All right, praise Yahweh. Now, 77 years later, to the day of when they showed the television, live viewing of the television, was when the house of Yahweh saw the donkey vision. 77 years later to the day. All right, remember, they were getting it ready for 1934. It started in 1923, but they were making it ready for 1934. And then 77 years later was when Pastor saw the donkey vision, just like the television. And then he told us about the donkey vision. All right, so here you see Hebrews 77. And it means from an unused root, probably meaning to gleam, and then you see conspicuous. Now, what does that word conspicuous mean? Well, in the conspicuous from the online dictionary, there you see it says standing out as to be clearly visible, easily seen, clear, visible, noticeable, discernible, perceptible, detectable, obvious, manifest, evident, apparent, marked, pronounced, prominent, and then you see crystal clear. All right? And that's talking about the television. You can see it turned out to be crystal clear. You could see it from very far away. Now, so when you put 23 and 77 together, remember it started in 1923, then you have the 77 years later when we saw the donkey vision. When you put it together, you can guess what it means. Right there, vision. All right? What a coincidence. Praise Yahweh. 2377, it means vision. Now, this is the same as in Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel 9, found on page 681. Daniel 9, verse 21, it says, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man of Yahweh," this is talking about Yisrael Hawkins, "whom I had seen in the vision..." All right, notice that word vision at the beginning, "being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening oblation." Then let's look at verse 23. It says, "At the beginning of your supplications, the command was given, and I have come to show you, you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." All right, and here you see the vision right there, and then it's the same word used in Daniel 9:21. All right, so Yahweh is making it really clear who he's working with, and he's in full control of what he's doing. Now, when you look up radio waves in the gematria, radio waves comes out to 702. So then we look at Strong's Hebrew 702, and it shows this number here, which is 186,400. All right, now what is 186,400? Well, let's look at the, let's go to Numbers. Numbers 2. Numbers 2 and verse 9, it says, "All the men assigned to the camp of Yada, from the tribes of Yada, Issachar, and Zebulun, numbered 186,400. These shall break camp and set out first." All right, so you see there the 186,400 from the tribe of Yada. And remember, Yada was the light bringer. Now, well, what is 186,400? Well, if I could have my last slide, if it's working. 186,400 is how fast radio waves travel. All right, praise Yahweh. What a coincidence. All right, that's how fast radio waves travel. And that's how you see it through the television. All right, so Yahweh uses the television. The world uses it for bad things, but Yahweh uses it for the gathering of his people in the work at Abel. All right, so that's all the time I have. If y'all please stand. I'll turn it over to the great Khan, Kifa Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You all may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Praise Yahweh. It's a beautiful privilege and honor to address the family of Yahweh on a Sabbath day. And the topic, you know, that I'd like to speak about today is the plan of Yahweh. And the plan of Yahweh is unity. Remember that. The plan of Yahweh is unity. And the plan of Yahweh is perfect. Okay? So we must submit ourselves to Yahweh in everything that we do in order to be in unity with him. And to guard and protect this way of life. The way of life that we learn when we come here to the great house of Yahweh. You know, it's a foreign place to us when we first arrive, and we come here with joy and expectations. But everything that is done here in the great house of Yahweh is promoting and establishing unity, if we allow it in our lives. You know, if we fight against it, we're not going to receive those blessings. But, you know, you can see this perfect way of life practiced and kept here at the great house of Yahweh. You know, in Isaiah 2:3, you don't have to turn there, but I'm sure most of you remember it, that he says he will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his paths. You know, we come here to learn his paths. We come here to learn of his ways. And you know, we have to get rid of and break down all of our preconceived ideas of what that is and grasp hold of what Yahweh is truly offering us here in his house. You know, Yahweh has given us the power, you know, he has given us the power to overcome sin, you know, and that's what he teaches us here. You know, it's a choice. Everything that we do is a choice. And we're going to either show, you know, that we are in unity with Yahweh, or we're going to show that we're in opposition to him by the choices that we make. So, you know, when we let sin, you know, when we let our guard down, be turning to 1 Corinthians 15. When we let our guard down, you know, we let sin into the camp, and it begins to destroy that unity. All right? 1 Corinthians 15 on page 898. Let's look at verse 33. He says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts righteous character." And, you know, the great deacon that spoke before me, he showed some of this potential bad company. He shows how Yahweh uses it, you know, for the work in these last days. But, you know, bad company, what is it? You know, it could be in the palm of your hand at any given time. You know, it makes us terribly upset to see these things in the hands of children. You know, when you give children the internet or whatever on a phone and it's not guarded, you understand what you're doing. You know, you're opening the door for Satan to teach that child. You know, and here in the house of Yahweh, we have got to be better guards than that. You know, we're told to guard and protect this way of life. You know, that's the unity. That's the unity. And remember that scripture, bad company will corrupt that righteous character. That righteous character is the unity that Yahweh wants us to have. All right, that's what he is. He is perfect unity. When we let our guard down, you know, we can allow this thing into the camp. Now, that's just for starters, one of the things that is bad company. You know, but we need to also be able to teach our children to find the joy in the work of Yahweh, in the way of Yahweh, in this lifestyle that Yahweh shows us and teaches us here at his house. You know, because it is a joyous life. It's perfectly joyous, the life that Yahweh offers to us here in his great house. You know, but we have to be able to show that to our children. You know, we have to create that. that and show them, you know, the importance of being able to live this peaceful life. If you look at, you don't have to turn any page numbers, but look over to 15 and verse 58, because this is what we ought to be doing instead of allowing the negative influences in. You know, this is the instruction that Yahweh gives us. He says, therefore, beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh. And now the work of Yahweh, you know, there's many parts of the work of Yahweh. Teaching is every bit a part of the work of Yahweh as anything else. It's the most important part of the work of Yahweh is to train to become teachers. You know, and we have to find joy in this, and we have to be able to teach our children these things. But he says, knowing that your labor is not in vain in him. Now, everything in the world that the world offers is absolutely vanity. You know, it's either going to be an oppression or a deception. You know, but it looks desirable. Remember way back in Genesis, it was shown that this way looks desirable. It can look very desirable. And of course, Yahweh has given us time to train us, to show us the truth. The truth is it may look desirable, but the end result is not quite so desirable. You know, we have to know and understand that, and we should know and understand that here in the house of Yahweh. But two of the, you know, there's many forms of these this bad company, you know, that is spoken there in Corinthians. Two of the worst ones to me is bitterness and pride. Okay, and I always, you know, as a builder, I put this in my mind. I compare it with rotten wood. You know, because it's like I'm always dealing with rotten wood. You know, when you go to fix something, it's like, okay, I got rotten wood. I got to take that out. But the rotten wood just doesn't become rotten wood on its own. You know, wood needs water in order to rot. It has to have it. Dry wood doesn't rot, right? So as a builder, you spend every ounce of your effort trying to prevent water from entering your building, right? Now, keep that in mind and compare it with us here in the house of Yahweh. You know, because we are a building, are we not? We're the house of Yahweh. We need to guard and protect from sin entering into our lives and destroying what Yahweh is building. You know, because the house of Yahweh is not built with rotten components. You know, but it's just, to me, it's an easy way for me to remember it as I constantly look and try to avoid these things in building practices. You know, I think that you know, guarding your character, you know, is a very easy thing to compare with that. But, you know, the same way we need to keep pride out of this building, you know, that we're in. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 5 here. And I know that, you know, I'm not proud. I just know everything. It's not that I'm proud. I know more than you. You know, so it's not a pride issue. It's a pride issue. You know what do we? You know, it's funny when we talk about things like that and we say, you know, I'm an expert. You know, in the short period of life and time that Yahweh has given us to be alive, you know, we couldn't possibly be a true expert in anything. You know, somebody asked me, it's like, are you a tree expert? I said, you know, there's over 100,000 different types of trees on the planet, and I don't even know all their names. So, no, I can't say I'm an expert. And what would I tell Yahweh? You know, Yahweh, you don't understand. I'm an expert, you know. No, we have to really be on guard of this I know something attitude that comes up and interferes with us in the workplace, you know, because what Yahweh is judging us on is not our great knowledge, but our ability to submit ourselves, our ability to humble ourselves, you know, and to come here and say, Yahweh, I don't know anything. Please teach me. I'm going to learn of your ways, not mine. You know, because we all came here with the ways of the world. And we can look at the news and see the ways of the world is not peace. It's not unity. It's not unity by any stretch of the imagination. But what about bitterness? What about bitterness now? Say, I'm not proud, but when we work together, we can sometimes step on each other's toes. I say sometimes, probably every day, you know, and we have to learn to cope with this. We have to learn to get over this and to deal with it according to the way that Yahweh has told us to deal with it. And of course, remember, the power over the sin is what? The law, right? So let's go back to the law. Let's look at Leviticus 19. Because Yahweh gives us clear instructions here, right? Leviticus 19, and look at verse 18. And he says, "Do not seek revenge, nor bear a grudge against one of your own people." Okay, so how often, you know, when you look up those words, look up the word grudge. You know, I won't get into all of it, but, you know, it's a feeling of ill will or resentment. So how often do we have a feeling of ill will or resentment towards one another? Normally the ones that we're around the most. You know, it's easy to get along with people we don't see every day. You know, but when we're working side by side day after day after day, you start to notice little things about that person. And why is this person like that? And why, you know, we're not in unity. What are you questioning? What are you saying? You know, what are we saying to Yahweh when we say those types of things? That Yahweh's failing? Yahweh's not failing. You know, we might fail from time to time, but the work of Yahweh is never going to fail. You know? But so we have to be able to identify, you know, when these feelings, that's what the Peaceful Solution teaches us, to identify, you know, when these feelings come to our mind, to not feed them. You know, because that will lead to that rot that becomes worthless. It's not fit for anything. You can't take a piece of rotten wood and build out of it, right? It's not fit for anything. Well, that's how we become when we store up grudges, when we store up hatred in our heart towards one another. You know, when we seek counseling, the counseling shouldn't be, I need counseling because of this guy that I work with. Or the woman or whoever. It should be about ourselves, right? How do I deal with these situations? You know, we don't come to Yahweh to learn to you know, fix, you know, I'm okay, but this guy I work with, he's the problem. No, that's if you have that attitude, you understand, you already should understand that's the problem. All right, so we could stop it there and seek counsel, you know, because that's what the kingdom of Yahweh is set up to do, is to provide the help that we need to overcome sin. You know, and then once we do it, then we turn around and we become those teachers to others. And it's a beautiful plan. That's why I say, you know, the plan of Yahweh is unity. It's perfect and it's working. And we need to continue to allow it to work in our lives. You know, and it takes place every day, day in, day out, with every decision that we make. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 real quick. 1 Corinthians 12, found on page 896. 1 Corinthians 12, and look at verse 25. He says, "That there should be no schism, that is division or split in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." And that care is essential. You know, you have to have that care. Remember, Yeshua was moved with compassion. You know, we have to have each other's needs in our interest. And that's what the work of Yahweh teaches. As we do it day in and day out, the work, the very work that we all do, is done for the benefit and the care of others. It's to provide for others, is it not? Praise Yahweh. So in verse 26, he says, "And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, then all members rejoice with it." You know, we don't get jealous of one another because one is, you know, might be honored, but we rejoice in that honor. You know, That is a true family. And that's what we're learning here in the house of Yahweh, is to become a true unit, a true family, the way that Yahweh created us to be. Now, you are the body of Messiah and the members in particular. So with that, let's look back to Zechariah 14, because I asked the question, you know, is Yahweh going to fail? Remember the scriptures that not one of these will fail, right? And we could trust the plan of Yahweh. We could trust the prophecies here in the book of Yahweh. In Zechariah 14:9, found on page 723, says, "And Yahweh will be king over all the earth. And in that day, Yahweh will prove to be a unity and his name one." Okay, so he's actually going to prove this. While the world proves that sin brings disunity, Yahweh is proving that his way of life will prove to be unity, and it'll be a lasting unity forever. And that great family of Yahweh is something that we all need to look forward to and to work towards every day of our life. You know, the work that we're doing here is not in vain. Remember that, it's forever. So if y'all please stand at this time, I do have the great privilege and opportunity to present the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Today we want to start off by going through kind of a quick history lesson, but the interview will show pretty much what it is about. And it's the 45th anniversary of the Shanghai Communique. Now, for those of you that don't know that, that was the agreement that was made between the United States and China, February the 28th of 1972. And of course, the representatives of the United States was President Richard Nixon, and, of course, Henry Kissinger, who was Secretary of State. Now, at that time, they had made an agreement. It was kind of a live and let live agreement. They agreed to disagree, as long as they didn't step on each other's toes, but they were going to build massive wealth. They were going to grow massive economies. Now, the interesting part in this was that the only thing that they did stipulate and was made known to the public was that no hegemony, also known as military dominance, was agreed upon by China and the United States. They would not, neither one would do such a thing in the Asia Pacific. But then things changed. And what changed was, of course, in 2009, that is when the United States started building up military dominance in the Pacific. And of course, China has done the same thing with the islands of the South China Sea. But what also has changed was 2009-2010 is when China became the second largest economy, growing at a faster rate than any other economy in the world. And remember, China is also a very anti-Catholic country. Now, in watching this, Henry Kissinger is the one being interviewed. Watch what he says about a world order. Listen carefully to what he says about our time in history and a world order. And then we go off to the Philippines, and of course, this is about a certain kind of misconduct by Catholic priests in the Philippines. They say sodomy and pedophilia is at an all-time high. The interesting thing is there are some Catholic priests there. They are taking what they don't call them wives, they call them life partners, and they're having children. The Catholic Church is condemning them for it. But not one Catholic priest to this day has been charged, and it's stuck with them for pedophilia or the inappropriate behaviors with youth, both boys and girls. A very important thing to remember is when they're talking to one of the counselors, listen to what she says. Last week, Pastor said you have to understand who rules the kings of the earth. And she goes on to say that the Catholic Church is not just a religious power, but it is a very powerful political power. Not even governments can touch it because they rule the kings that rule the governments. Listen to all of these things and how they come out. And all it does is back up what Pastor's been bringing for years, showing who's ruling the kings of the earth, the religions of the earth. And then, of course, in Calais, that is where the refugees have been fleeing in France. They have found a new way to deal with them. They actually just passed a law. It is illegal to feed an immigrant now. So their goal is to starve them until they can push them out. Give them no food, let them go somewhere else. And that's the way they're being treated. And then, of course, Bill Gates. Remember, we had a pastor brought out about this meeting that was going to take place on depopulation. They were going to be speaking at the Vatican. Well, we'll get into that. But before that, Bill Gates come out this week. And, of course, he put it in the minds of everyone that bioterrorism, it would be so easy to get out some kind of smallpox, some kind of disease that could get into the lungs, respiratory disease, you could kill 30 million people quickly. But if that occurs, it's terrorist. And then we go into the speech by Paul Ehrlich. Paul Ehrlich, he is a pro-abortion advocate, and he's also known as the leading activist for population control. Now, he spoke at the Vatican, and listen to who he praises. There's one person he cannot sing his praises enough. And, of course, when he sings the praises of his person, well, that person's just a spokesman. He's literally singing the praises of the organization, Catholic Church. That's who he's singing the praises of. And, of course, their answer is to nullify, to bring down the population. But the very interesting point that he makes, and I don't think he realizes, is that he's scared to death of one thing: nuclear war. He's scared to death that nuclear war will come before they can get this population control under control. They want to be able to control it. But at the very end, I think you'll remember Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. If we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone will please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hey, Lord, you got a crowd. Look at this. Yahweh, you see this? The great gathering. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I was loaded down with articles here this morning, and I want to get into this rather quickly. I wanted to ask you first, have you heard any rumors or gossip this week? Any rumors? Anybody hear any? What about food? Rumors about... Okay, great. I told an elder last night, I was explaining to him, you know, how this is scriptural. I said, Daniel 12, 1 through 4, Yahweh shows us the television. Now, I showed you earlier where the phone was actually mentioned for this generation, the telephone. Then you have Yahshua who warned his disciples, don't bother this woman. You know, I've got her on a special mission. So with that, Yahweh gives to us, if you want to spread a rumor, you got television, you got the telephone, and you got, you get it? Tell a woman. Now, has anyone heard the rumors this week? Of course you have. I know you have. They heard it clear across the nation already. Free food at the house of Yahweh. Free food. This can't be. Yeah, it can. It sure can. The newsletter, that is, it's very special this week because, now last, that and Facebook, of course, but, and the Skype program, they're all getting connected now. And the news that we're getting in, we know that it's reaching the other countries because they're contacting us. And they're not just contacting us for booklets. They're contacting us saying, how do we get here? and of course, when you're in Japan, which is one of the groups. Now, this is turning out to be quite a group, I guess, because they're asking to meet all the people, and they're on the Facebook to be found, and so they're spreading it. And so be sure and pray, be praying. That's one of your top prayers, to pray for their safety, for Yahweh's protection. The newsletter this week has not only reached Japan, but we have all these movements going on in the different nations now that is showing forth this great gathering that our great deacon Jacob brought out this morning, some of it on this. Praise Yahweh. And it looks like quite a few crowds of gathering taking place in those nations. Of course, the newsletter, it's reaching these countries too. World events are lined up with biblical prophecy, says Israel Hawkins, a new post this week. And that was up to 62,000 a while ago. That was at 6 a.m., I believe, this morning. Maybe 6:30, somewhere between those two. If I could get an update on that, I would appreciate it. The newsletter is going out to all the news companies, and they're printing it. The sprinkling... this feast. Now, this is going to be on Yahshua's memorial, and it's going to be kind of special. But I'm thinking we really need that sprinkling. There's death throughout the whole world now, including America. And I guess from what President Trump said, it's being hidden from the news media, or at least the news media is not reporting it. But you need that sprinkling. It'll be done in a new way, this feast. It'll be worked out to where the Kohans and Kohanas can get sprinkled first right after Yeshua's memorial. And then they will get to the door entrances and sprinkle everyone as they leave. But we need to make sure that everyone that comes here does get sprinkled. And that's at Yahshua's memorial. You need it. So keep that in mind. If you're calling in about registration, yes, we do need you to register. That registration has been wiped out. That is the pay for it. The money that was being charged has been taken off of that. So the registration is free, but we still need you to register. The meals are free this feast, going to be. That's three meals a day. It's going to be furnished anyway. If you'll cooperate and get us get your registration in, we need to, the cooks tell me that we need to know the number of people in the family, the ages, and so forth, in order to know how much food to cook during the Passover feast. The Passover is just 5 weeks off. It's really close. The tent rental spaces are free. If you're wanting electricity, you'll have to pay for that, they said, and that will come with your lot, whichever one you choose. If you're wanting electricity and sewage, you need to let us know that ahead of time. And there's also rentals. I have nothing to do with rentals anymore, praise Yahweh. That's been taken off of me. You need to contact the office, and they can tell you who owns rental trailers and houses, and who to contact to get them the electric, gas, and so forth. just get registered. Get registered and get the information to the cooks. Man, that was fast, wasn't it? Okay, it went from 60,000 to 67,000. That's over 1,000 an hour. Praise Yahweh. That is wonderful. I keep thinking of that scripture. It's in Luke 12, I know. But it's where Yahshua said that, and you can expect this, he says, I'm going to come out and serve you. let's see if we can find that. I know it's in Luke, the 12th chapter, and I think I got it marked. Luke 12, Yahshua, our high priest. Oh, yeah, here it is. 35, let your belts be fastened around your waist. Now, if you remember, and I'll be tying this in with, of course, I have in the newsletter some, but this is talking about the great gathering that took place in Egypt. And we really need to understand that, too, which I'll be hopefully bring some more on it during the feast. But he's referring to that as a time of haste, not like we're going to have a hasty move from this protected place, but certainly getting to this place should be looked forward to with earnest and put some zeal into it to get here. This is taking place right now. And then he says, but that refers like to chapter 12 in Exodus. You got, remember 12, Luke and 12 and Exodus 12. You can tie the two together. And that's what he was doing here when he mentioned this. And that's what Moshe told the children of Israel at that time when he was telling them, get ready for this. Don't wait till the last minute. It wasn't like they started packing after midnight to go. It was like they started packing a month before, or 2 months before, or maybe 6 months before, and getting ready, planning to make this long, long trip that on foot with donkeys, camels, and mules and horses. And then verse 37, blessed are the, well, let's read 36. May you yourselves be like men who wait for their ruler. And that word there, wait, is actually means, it's not wait, but guide the people to being patient until the ruler comes. Being patient and looking forward to it. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants. Well, now this right here, if you see the urgency in this, open unto him immediately, talking about being prepared and not trying to prepare yourself at that time. And in preparing for this, tolerating one another, becoming a servant, that's what he was trying to teach in this particular spot, becoming a servant, serving others, and taking care of others. That's your whole duty. And you might remember that the food that you eat, someone had to cook it. Someone had to gather it. Someone had to plant it. Someone had to prepare the ground. That's all going on right here. in the house. The beef you eat, someone had to butcher it. And you know what is required here for the meat, it has to be kosher killed. It has to be butchered in a certain way. It has to be handled, and certain portions of it taken out that can't be used. And all of that, you train for that. It took a long time to train people to do this correctly, but it's being done correctly. Well, here he's talking about the same urgency and comparing it with the going out of Egypt, which took a long time. Moshe not only argued with Pharaoh, he also had to teach these people what was going to be done and how it was going to be done, where they were going to go, what they were going to receive from Yahweh, not the gods, but from Yahweh. That's a big lesson in itself, you know, trying to get people to understand that the gods have no power. The gods are evil, like Genesis 3:5 tells you in no uncertain terms. Don't eat that food from the gods. If you do, you're going to get sick. You're going to start dying. Your brain is going to start rotting and so forth. Well, all that was being taught by Moshe to these people who were Catholics, meaning God worship, Christian, Egyptian Catholics. Catholic means God worshipers, means universal. They worship all the gods of the universe. And Yeshua was referring to that, and then he says in verse 37, blessed are those servants. Now, see, there's more than one. It's not just the branch, but it's a seed, an offspring of the branch in this time period. That's what Yahweh shows. Those servants, he's speaking of you, the house of Yahweh. Blessed are those servants whom the ruler, when he comes, that's at his coming. There is no other house besides us. We're getting people ready to come here now to the protected place. This is the protected place. So those servants, speaking of you sitting right here in front of me, yes, those servants are going to bring a great gathering here. Have in mind, we've got to serve these people, giving them their meat in due season and their allotted portions of food. Blessed are those servants whom the ruler, when he comes, will find watching. Truly I say to you, that this is Yeshua, he will fasten his belt, speaking also like he did in verse 35, to be a servant. Those people couldn't have made it if they hadn't have learned a vital lesson to take care of one another. Even the butchering of the lamb that night, referring to Yeshua, in this time period, this is the real lamb that we're... This is the real lamb that we're dealing with here, the lamb Yeshua Messiah. But he's referring it back to this hasty time when Moshe was trying to prepare a group of people to come out of Egypt, not cut themselves off from Yahweh, where they wouldn't have his protection, where they could walk through a sea of water on dry land. You know, these things are going to be more spectacular in this time period because Satan has nuclear bombs, not just swords and shields. She has nuclear bombs, yet Yahweh says he's going to protect you, you who prepare yourselves. You ought to look up every word. I don't have time to just go to every word, but you could look up these words. I mean, when you're wasting your time and you think you have nothing to do, you could come here and take your concordance. That will help you some. Take your concordance and start looking up every word in this sentence, and you'll be surprised how much you'll see in this one chapter right here in Luke 12 and comparing it with Exodus 12. Well, and Deuteronomy 12. There's others, other chapter, other books besides that that speak of this same thing that Yahshua is referring to, but Deuteronomy 12. And Yahshua said in Matthew 6:33, also referring to this same thing, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. That's what you're doing when you're here practicing keeping Yahweh's laws. You're practicing to serve one another, not to argue and fight, but to serve one another. Someone was saying they found out how I was misused and taken advantage of. And I said, well, one thing about it for sure, they can't say that I took advantage of them. They can't say that I harmed them in any way. And I turned the other cheek. They had the opportunity to do it twice. And more than that, if they wanted to. Well, it says, blessed are those servants. So get all that in your mind, because it means everything that I've spoken of and more, getting yourself ready. If I could quit this blasted crying, it would help. But fasten your belt. That goes with the apostles' writings of putting on the breastplate, the belt of holiness, where you won't slip, where you can do your work. Well, that the ruler, when he comes, will find watching himself and others, guarding. Truly I say to you, it wasn't out like he was out there of a night looking up in the sky waiting for Yahshua. It's watching the people, watching the house. Guard and keep. He said this to Adam. Here's my laws. Guard and keep them, he says. Guard and keep them. Don't let them change. Well, of course, he's speaking to Abel. Abel did guard and keep them until Yahweh allowed him to be killed. This is a great lesson. Our high priest now will never die. Yahshua will never die. And I want to get to the point here to show you how important this is. But if you just stop to think about it, you know, when a priest died, when a high priest died, you know, lesser people took their place. In fact, devil worshipers, God worshipers took their place. And of course, they pushed in their way. And they took the house of Yahweh by force and violence. That's what Yahshua told you. So when the righteous are taken away, no one notices it, but Yahweh is noticing it. And this house of Yahweh is special. And of course, the high priest is very special. You're special. He's showing you that he's going to protect you because he's got to work for every one of you here. So Yahshua is saying to them, get yourselves ready here, watching. Truly I say to you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat and will come out and serve them. This is Yahshua, our high priest. Now this is in Luke. And compare all the other. You may as well read 38. And if he comes in the second watch or comes in the third watch, trying to tell you, you don't know when. You don't know when. What portion was you in? The portion when we were in town, when we was being persecuted in town. The portion when we were brought out here and tried, when we were taken to court, trying to find something that they could charge us with their laws, man-made laws. What watcher was you in, where were you raised in or trained in or tested in? That's what he's saying here. It's not like, you know, midnight, well, he didn't come tonight. I'm looking up at the sky. No, you wouldn't know it if he came, if he was that stupid. You wouldn't know it when Moshe came to get you and told you, get out, let's go. Now let's leave right now. Let's walk out. Okay. Well, anyway, this is the Passover that we could be looking forward to right here when Yahshua actually makes his appearance. Right now, we're seeing them get ready for a depopulation. If you watch the news there, you could see that depopulation, that it's not going to just happen. They're not going to blunder this. They may make some blunders, but that won't lead anywhere. They'll quickly correct that because they got this planned. I'm telling you, it's planned. It's not only planned, it's spoken of in prophecy. And Yahweh gives us these prophecies to go by, and these prophecies are sure. You may make mistakes with numbers, but you're not going to make mistakes with these prophecies. Reading them, and what better could you be than Yahweh said, you're going to have a nuclear bomb in this generation. Not in some other generation, but the generation when the house of Yahweh is here teaching you. You're going to have the nuclear bomb. How did he know that? Now that's the sureness of prophecy. You can't beat it. It's absolutely 100% being led and guided by Yahweh, the shepherd of these prophecies. The book of Yahweh. And that was in Isaiah 34. News that he was bringing forth here about the population control to population controllers to Vatican, responsible parenthood has failed, use taxes and regulations to reduce population. Well, this is really being taught big time right now. Like Moshe was getting the children of Israel, listen to me now, like Moshe was getting the children of Israel ready to leave, come out of God worship, pulling them out of God worship so they could stay in contact with Yahweh long enough to get them to that mountain that no one has still found. They still don't know where it is. And tell them right now, it's in Abel, right now. Well, where's Abel? Well, anyway, he is getting them ready. Well, this population, they're getting ready. The God worshipers, Satan, as shown in Isaiah 14, is getting nuclear war ready for her children. And Yahweh shows you that. That's the destruction that Yahweh says he's going to allow. Remember, nothing gets by Yahweh. Whatever we see, Yahweh allows. Whatever he prophesies, that's what he does. You can have Eob's body for a little while, but don't lay your hands on her. Did you see that it was exactly that way? Yes. Yahweh, Yahshua told his disciples, if you remember, I'm going to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, what does wolves do? What does coyotes do to sheep? We've lost enough of them. It suddenly came to a screeching halt, but we lost a bunch. This should be evident what wolves will do to sheep. That's a great lesson for you, surely. They killed them. Most of them died in Rome. And Yahshua told them in advance, this is what's going to take place. Yochanan says, brethren, don't be surprised if the world hates you. I saw hatred go from love, and I want to get some of his ideas in business. This has all been brought out now. I didn't bring it out. Others did. But yes, I was well respected as a businessman in Abilene. I was in business. The banker, the president of the bank came to see me. Yes. He even told people, if you want to get rich, follow Bill Hawkins around. He's going to own half of Abilene before this is over. He didn't know that he made a prophecy there. In fact, I can hardly wait to bring this information about this Loop 322. You know, we haven't even covered half of that or a third of it yet. But this has a great meaning for the house of Yahweh. But back to this article, he says, March 2, 2017, LifeSite News, population controls told the Vatican at a conference this week that the Catholic teaching of responsible parenthood in determining family size has resulted in collective failure in reducing the world's population. Now, what they're doing, they're putting it in your mind here now, how bad they've made it thus far, but now they got an answer for it. See, that's the way they do every 6 months. Oh, man, this is a mess you caused right here. But now you got an answer. See, they always got the answer, but the answer always brings forth evil, like the gods. These are the plans of Satan, who is guiding their operation. They may be thinking they're going to save themselves. You know, Malachi Martin said they hope to come out on top. Remember, the Catholic Church hopes to come out on top, but you see the competition they have. Russia hopes to come out on top. Why is she getting all these big bombs? Not for show. They're not milking them things. They're not getting milk or food from them. And they keep putting billions of dollars in them, hoping to come out on top. There's not going to be any tops. 1 hour burning is going to take care of all the tops. The United States, Malachi Martin said, in getting the world ready for death and destruction. That's what they're doing. And it's shown in the scriptures what they're doing. The United States is doing the same thing Russia is. But there's a few more nations involved in it, and they know their plans, and they're beginning to do the same thing. And they're beginning to combine their strength, and secretly, they're making moves to combat the United States. And of course, we act like we don't know it. It's kind of like the Donald Trump said, you know, there's hundreds of activities going on in the United States that the news is not reporting. Well, he said that, so he knows, I guess. In introducing the world's population, it's a failure. They suggested that the only way to stop the exhausting of humanity, natural capital, is by imposing a system of taxes. Get this, they're going to impose first a system of taxes and regulations. If they get taxes, what do you think they're going to do with those taxes? What are they doing with them now? That would help modify social norms of behavior. They're going to pass laws saying you can do this and this and this. Daniel said he looked and he was amazed at the amount of laws that this beastly system passed just before it fell. Now get this. This week's Vatican symposium on biological extinction, sponsored by, this is what you saw on the news a while ago. This is sponsored by the Catholic Church, sponsored by the Pontifical Academy of Science. Wow, that sounds about 10 feet over my head. What a name. They must be really important. They must be the super and the great, or the great and the wise. What these others 10 call themselves? These must be over them, really important. I guess they are. Yeshua said the rulers rule the poor people, then the ones that are stronger and more powerful and richer rule the rulers, and then even those have rulers over themselves. Well, get what he's saying. Pontifical Academy of Science. And here's the second one now they throw at you. The Pontifical Academy of Social Science. Man, that is so great they got it divided. I'm telling you, there's fine to place it in your mind that they are great and they have the answers. Well, the answers is they're planning to kill and destroy the earth and the heavens that go with the earth, as Yahshua said, but also Isaiah 14 shows it. It was a closed-door event. Closed-door event. This is so important, they don't want anyone to know about it but them. It's so evil that they don't want anyone to know about it. That's the reason they're keeping it in darkness. A closed-door event. They're not like Yahshua, who stood in the street teaching day after day the laws of Yahweh. And he spoke of them, you know. He said they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. This was a closed-door event. Speaking at the event were two controversial figures, and you saw those two in the news today, in the news that was just shown. Both of them are writers, and of course they've been spreading their propaganda for years. People have been reading their books for years, and they advertise constantly on television. We got more to show you on those two people, by the way. Both are population control advocates. They're population control advocates. Why would they have them there at this closed-door meeting? And why would they close the doors to keep you from knowing what they were in there planning? Both of these people that you saw on the news today, both were population control advocates who speak as enemies. Now, they speak as enemies to the Catholic Church. As enemies. I used to play that game when I was on the police department. The good and the bad, you know. The one police officer would come in there and have a club in his hand. Let me have an hour with this so-and-so. And I'll show you what he did. And then there's this other. Oh, wait now. Get out here and let me talk to this man. This man is A-OK. You know, so he pushes the bad guy out. Now, you better talk to me, because if you don't, that character is going to be back in here. I've seen it done over and over and over, and this is what you're seeing right here. This is on a bigger scale, you know. This is going up here 10 foot tall, high, with really, really small. They must have gold caps on, you know, maybe even purple. who speak as enemies. They speak as enemies of the Catholic Church. Traditional teaching of morals. Oh, yes, I'm sure they're really righteous since they condemned the laws of Yahweh and wrote their own. Yahweh says their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You better believe that. In a more and more socialized world, they're going to socialize it for you. It's going to be really enjoyable in this socialized world. What they mean is they're going to live high on the hog while the others down here are fed what the hog walked on. The appeal, yes, I'm not lying to you. They don't care anything about poor people, and they let it be known in this newsletter. The appeal for an ecological conversion is much the same. Many of the 15-page, this 15-page of closed-door meetings, lengthened conference address are devoted to catastrophe, predicting about the sixth biological extinction. Let me read it again. It's about catastrophe, predictions, They're prophesying about the sixth biological extinctions. But the most important part of the presentation aims at creating a sort of moral code. Creating a sort of moral code that would serve to put a halt to overpopulation. A moral code? This is where the Pope was sent with a letter saying, oh, there's just war. You know, it's justified. It's justified. They have a bunch of oil we want, so that justifies this war. These killings are going on right now, brethren. They started in Afghanistan and Iraq, Lebanon. They haven't ceased. They're still fighting. But this moral code, creating this moral code that would serve to put a halt to overpopulation of the earth's resources, as well as reducing population. As well as reducing the population. In Revelations, the sixth chapter, you see the Savior, Yahshua Messiah, speaking of this. Let's turn over there, Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Now you really need to read this and pay attention. What I've read you through this article right here is they're predicting and they're planning and they're prophesying and what they intend to do. And they are going to put a fast squeeze on the people. And when they book up, they'll wipe them out. They have the means to do so. But this will turn to an all-out war. They have it planned, an all-out war where the Pope, where the Vatican hopes to come out on top. Russia hopes to get the first lick in. Yes, first strike. That's what they're planning. And the United States hopes to come out on top. Now, this is in the Keys of This Blood by Malachi Martin. I quoted a lot because the man knew the plans of the Catholic Church. Well, here in chapter 6 of Revelation, he says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened the seals." Now, normally, you would just read that. Are you paying attention? Normally, you'd just read that. It wouldn't mean a thing to you. But this is when you understand it, and this is what I want you to do today. When you understand this, you'll see the complicated prophecy that Yahweh is showing you, that the Lamb, the high priest, Yahshua Messiah, is trying to get you to understand. He's the one that's guiding this right now. In fact, he has the power of inspiration. He has that power of inspiration. This law, the Lamb opened the seal. The Lamb. The Lamb opened the seal. First off, it was closed. This meeting was behind closed doors. Well, so was this information that Yahweh gives to us today. Meaning deception, that's Revelations 12:9. The whole world, Satan has the whole world deceived. And the Vatican is the leading member of all the religions. Now, I want you to hold your place right there in Revelation 6 and turn over to Yochanan 3. Yochanan 3. Don't lose your place in Revelation 6. Turn over to Yochanan 3. Hold your place in Revelations so you can just flip it right back after we read this. Revelations 6, but turn over to Yochanan 3. And remember, he, the Lamb. Now look here who it's talking about, and you get this in your mind, and then you'll understand who is opening these seals here for you to understand this. You couldn't understand it if we didn't have a live high priest dealing with us today. He's had 2,000 years of experience ahead of us. He's got the power of inspiration right now. He can write in the clouds, send messages to us in the clouds, being many, many thousand light years away, looking at a sea of glass with you placed on that sea of glass and actually guiding you. Did you get that? He's looking at this big sea of glass with you individuals placed on that sea of glass. I brought this out. Don't forget it. So Yeshua can see each and every one of you. He's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. Well, look at 3 and verse 19. Now, this is the condemnation. The condemnation? Yes, they're condemned. Condemned to death. They're condemning themselves. They cut themselves off from Yahweh. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. That's the reason they didn't want their deeds to be seen. Behind closed doors. The meeting was behind closed doors. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. These plans that they got made are evil. Evil meaning like the gods. The gods are the ones that's got the plans, along with Satan, who guides the gods. Isaiah 14, this is the destruction planned, the full plan that Yahweh has allowed. He's not going to squash it. He's going to let us get so close to death, he won't let it come near us, but he's going to let us see it. Now that's what he says in Psalms 91, speaking of this right here. This condemnation that they got planned, they want to keep it behind closed doors because their thoughts, their plans are evil. They don't want it known. We know it because Yahweh shows us. Condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because they're following the evil like the gods. Genesis 3:5. For everyone who practices evil hates the light, neither comes to the light for fear his deeds would be exposed. That's the reason they go behind closed doors. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that it may be plainly seen that his deeds have been done through Yahweh. That's us. Go back to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened the seals. The Lamb opens the seals. Well, the Lamb. We see that depopulation is planned by the Vatican. Yes, it's actually planned. And it's also prophesied in Revelation 17. You're in Revelation 6. Turn there to Revelation 17, and we'll come right back to this Revelation 6. But I need to show you Revelation 17. Get this in your mind. This is what they're planning right now. Revelation 6, keep your finger there closed, and go to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven works of Yahweh, the seven messengers of Yahweh, the seven different eras of the house of Yahweh, the timetable. There came one who had the seven bowls, who talked with me. So this person talks, this messenger can talk, saying to me, come and I will show you the sentence of the great whore that sets upon many waters. That many waters, as the reference shown there, over in verse 15, I believe, shows this is multitudes, nations, and tongues. This character is over. With whom the kings, that is religions of the earth, have practiced fornication, that's God worship, practiced idolatry, God worship, evil like the gods, Genesis 3:5. And the inhabitants of the whole earth have been made drunk, that is confused, as Leviticus says, and Romans 1 says, that's the Romans, it's the book that the Apostle Shaul wrote to the Romans, none of them could understand it, but we understand it. The wine, that is the teaching of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, a woman. If you look over to verse 18, and that woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings, that is, religions of the earth. All of them are worshiping gods. Where do you think they got that? Yahweh is the creator. He's not a god. It looks like they would have found that out eventually. It looks like the information would have come to them from the American Indian, as they call him, who wrote the word Yahweh in caves. The Catholic Church passed that up and tried to erase it. Every cave was destroyed that they possibly could. And a school put in its place that says you can't teach this here. We can't mix. We're so righteous, we can't mix our governmental laws with this junk you find in the Bible. That's what they're saying. That's the ones with the big, big gold caps up here. Stand 10 feet taller than you. That's them. They're great and mighty. Colored beast, a scarlet-colored beast. That's blood, by the way, showing the blood that they've shed. Yes, the blood of saints is found there, as you can see on down there, who sits on seven hills. Those seven heads, if you look down to verse 9, the seven heads are seven hills or mountains on which this woman sits who leads the kings of the earth. Got all that? Now go back to chapter 6. Don't think this is an accident, what you're seeing here, this buildup of war. Chapter 6 of Revelations again. Chapter 6 of Revelations. And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. And I heard, as it were, one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I saw, here's the seven hill woman, the rich woman that sits on seven hills. If you'll just look, what she's going to do is what she's prophesied to do in Revelation 17. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. Oh yes, she looks great. Do you see that white robe that he was wearing when he passed that note that the Vatican gave him to read to these people as he went to this meeting, and that was behind closed doors, and brought back the information to the Vatican later? And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow. This is war. This is war. Mighty war. And a crown given authority. This crown means authority, not from Yahweh. As Revelation 13, chapter 13 shows, this authority comes from Satan the devil. When you break the laws of Yahweh, when you practice breaking the laws of Yahweh, 1 John 3:7, you belong to the devil. The Vatican not only practices it, they took the laws and changed them. Change the laws of Yahweh, and then they teach you, anyone who reads these, this is what the Pope is teaching today. The Vatican is telling him to do so. You read these, you become crazy. You become idiots if you read the Bible, he said. Given to him, the authority is given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's exactly what they have done, ruling by force. The Nimrod school of ruling by force. Nimrod. I can't take time to explain the Nimrod school, but that's what it was. The Lamb. Now remember, the Lamb is opening this for you to see. I want you to turn back to Yochanan again. Hold your place here in Revelation 6 and go to Yochanan 1. Yochanan 1. Now, the Lamb just opened this seal for you to understand so far that this authority is given to this beastly system to conquer. Conquer and to conquer. Conquer, then here's another uprising and they reconquer. Another uprising and they reconquer. It's never-ending battle, but it's getting worse, and you're going to see permanent destruction. You got Yochanan 1. Look at verse 1. You got it? Yochanan 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the plan. The plan was with Yahweh. The plan was Yahweh's. The same was in the beginning with Him. All things were done according to it. Not anything is done outside His permission. Even Satan and Eob. Remember that. There's a great example that Satan can only go as far as Yahweh permits her to go. Since they rejected Yahweh, I want you to look on over to verse 29. You couldn't understand this if it wasn't for this person right here. Yochanan 1:29. The next day, Yochanan saw Yahshua coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh." Do you still get that? Yochanan 1:29. Remember, the Lamb is opening the seals. In Revelation 6, are you listening? The Lamb is opening the seals for His house. He's high priest over the house of Yahweh. Hebrews 10:21. He's opening the seals, putting the laws in your heart, getting you ready for the gathering, the huge gathering. Just as Moshe got the children of Israel ready for that gathering that went out of Egypt. Notice what he says. You see it? Yochanan 1:29. Behold the Lamb of Yahweh. The Lamb? The Lamb. Now go back to chapter 6 again. And I saw when the Lamb, do you see that? The Lamb. Yahshua Messiah. He's the one that's opening this to us. We couldn't understand it if He didn't. 1:29. Now look at Revelations. Revelations again there. Chapter 6 and verse 2. And it shows you the first thing He shows is the wars taking place. And you go on over and you'll see one is given to take peace from the earth. That means take war, introduce war big time. What for? For depopulation. But we're not doing it fast enough, the Vatican says. They're still getting ahead of us. Forgive the abortionists. This will create more diseases, which it did. They're already saying it did. Make the dope addicts more susceptible to, say, marijuana. What will that do to you? Have you seen what it's doing to the people's brains? Confusion, God worship, and diseases? Make a sodomy okay by the Supreme Court. This will take out a few more of them, and it'll make us filthy rich. The money we get on these operations, the cancer increase, it's staggering, they're saying now. That's the word they're using. The sickness that comes with sodomy. It's staggering. And people are dying from this kind of cancer that it causes. Conquering and to conquer. Verse 3. And when He had opened, that's the Lamb now, don't forget, the Lamb, when He had opened the seal, you might put in last days, look at, hold your place there, hold your place and go to Daniel, the 12th chapter, hold your place in Revelations 6, and go to Daniel. Because there's a time period. And he shows this to you, but you got to know where to find it. Now remember the Lamb of Yahweh is Yahshua. Same thing showed to Abraham. Before he says, I'm going to send you down in the midst of God worshipers, bring you back after 400 years to my promotion. Okay, Daniel, these first four verses here shows you what is taking place, how the righteous will shine. That's what you're doing now, is learning righteousness. That's what Yahshua, the high priest, the Lamb, said for you to seek first. The righteousness of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh. What is the kingdom of Yahweh? You are the kingdom of Yahweh, brother. You yourselves are the kingdom. This is the great kingdom that he is putting together, training you right now to give to you this great authority that only members of his house, his kingdom. That word house, it means kingdom. It's Yahweh family. The kingdom of Yahweh. That's what he's building, to give you this great authority to govern the universe. Yes, remember, Satan don't want it. She don't want to be ruled over by you. She don't want her sons to be ruled over by you. She wants them to create a bunch of dinosaurs that she can play with and watch the blood flow. That shows her character. It shows their character. Well, here now in Daniel 12, and at that time, see, time of trouble, the third line, there will be a time of trouble. At that time, as he shows with two witnesses, the time of two witnesses. In verse 1, at that time, then third line, there will be a time of trouble. The fifth line, at that time, your people will be delivered. They'll be gathered. A great gathering is going to take place. As the great deacon brought out this morning, this great gathering is going to take place in this time period. You see that? At that time, your people are going to be gathered. Jeremiah used one word, Daniel used another, but they're both the same thing. This great gathering that is going to take place. Everyone who is found written in the book of life. In the another one, another verse says, the Revelation says, the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb, Yahshua's book of life. And what did he say? Blessed are those who keep Yahweh's laws, that they may have right to this tree of life. Tree of life is the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh. That is the tree of life, the tree of righteousness. Everyone that may be found written in the Lamb's book of life. And many of those who sleep, this is a resurrection now, speaking of the same time, at that time, the time of the resurrection. Do you realize the authority, the power you're going to have to resurrect the dead? First, you're going to receive the authority. You're going to be first. Then you're going to resurrect the dead. This is part of this great gathering that is going to take place. You're going to resurrect the dead, and you're going to set aside, Yahweh has it set aside for you, 1,000 years of training there. Yeshua's had 2,000 years of training. Man, I envy that guy. 2,000 years, and his mind is soaking up information like a sponge right now. They will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame, depending on whether they want to overcome or not. And those who are wise, those who are teachers, that word is teachers, will shine as the brightness of the sun, as the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn, they are the ones that will turn many, this huge great gathering, they're going to turn to righteousness. That's what you see taking place right now. We're turning the people from fighting and wars to righteousness. When we get through, when our job is finished, and this is what Yahweh is speaking of, there wasn't a God before me, neither will there be when this job is finished a God. Period. When this job is finished, there will be war no more. Now back to Revelation 6, verse 2, you saw that getting ready for war, verse 2, and then the Lamb, let's go to verse 3, and when he, that is the Lamb, hold your place and go to Hebrews 10. Hold your place and go to Hebrews 10. If you were really anxious here, you'd be getting those things marked. Hebrews 10, where you could go with a chain reference, going from one verse to another, and you could preach this sermon to anyone who asked you. But Hebrews 10, hold your place in Revelation 6. Look at verse 21, Hebrews 10, 21. And having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. Now remember, it's here a little and there a little. Written here a little and there a little. A high priest over the house of Yahweh. Hold your place. Now, he, in Revelation 6, verse 3, hold your place and go to Zechariah. Now remember, having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. Here a little and there a little. Zechariah. The sixth chapter of Zechariah. Remember what we're reading. And when he had opened the second seal, he, speaking of chapter 1, the Lamb of Yahweh, when he opened the second seal, high priest opens the seals. When he had opened the seal, high priest, he opened the seal. And look at, that's the Lamb of Yahweh, as is shown in verse 1, and we just read it in Yochanan. Then Zechariah now, he opens the seal as high priest. Zechariah 6, verse 11. Read this now with this all this I've given you in your mind. Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh. That's the Lamb of Yahweh who opens the seal for his house. The high priest. Notice the high priest. Zechariah 6, verse 11. The Lamb of Yahweh is the high priest. Hebrews 10, 21. Over the house of Yahweh. What house? It's destroyed. Every stone was taken down, moved to Rome. No, you will not worship Yahweh in Jerusalem, nor in these hills. That's what the Savior, the Lamb, the high priest over the house of Yahweh, told you back then, revealed to you now. On Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. You see that? Crowned as high priest. Now, he's opening the seal to the house of Yahweh. Look at verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. You're sitting in heaven at my right hand, being inspired to do this on earth. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Did you get that? Come on now. Come on, don't lose me. Yahweh is speaking to Yahshua, the Lamb of Yahweh, saying, behold the man who is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. See how that's tied in place? Build the house of Yahweh. He will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory, set and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace between him and the high priest. Between them two. Now back to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. He's high priest over the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh is established by or built by the one called the branch, to which Yahshua ties his donkeys in this time period. You got that? You see how simple that is? Not really simple, but you could understand it. And when he had opened the second seal, he, Yahshua, the Lamb, opened the second seal. This is speaking now of Daniel 12, he opening the seal. Zechariah 6:11 through 13, you just read it. Now look at Yeremiah, hold your place there, and look at Yeremiah 23. Hold your place in Revelation 6. Yeremiah 23, found on page 591 if you're having trouble. Yeremiah 23. This is the high priest over the house of Yahweh, working with the branch, working with the branch. And the great deacon just brought out about this gathering. Now the high priest is working with the branch, with all the donkeys tied to the branch in this time period. Woe to the 23, Jeremiah 23, 1. Woe to the pastors, shepherds, who destroy and scatter. That's what the Catholic Church is doing. That's what Yada is doing. She's holding the keys to the scepter, the lawgiver. Yahweh allowed this. Yahweh allowed them to reject his law. And this is what they're doing. But notice the results of it. Who scatter my sheep, who destroy and scatter my sheep. Verse 2, line 3, you have scattered my flock and driven them away. It's you that's driving them away from the hills of the promotions of Yahweh's house that was set up in Israel, the land of Israel. So Yahweh allowed this. And Yahshua said, no, Yahweh won't be worshipped here again. You rejected him. His house is going to be established in a different place in the last days. And that's what Zechariah 5 shows. Verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock. Now remember, we're talking about a great gathering that's going to take place. Yahweh could bring those people out. He's got to prepare them first. That's what we're doing right now in showing these scriptures. And if you're studying with us and in your own home while you're listening to this, you can study it over and over and over till you get it down to where you know what Yahweh's plan is. Yahweh's plan is going right along abreast of this seven hills of Rome, this woman that sits on seven hills, but we see a great deliverance taking place right here. They've scattered, that's verse 2, they've scattered and driven them away, but in verse 3, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. You see that? Out of all countries. Out of all countries. Verse 4, second line, they will fear no more. Third line, neither will they be lacking. He's speaking of you now, brother. Neither will they be lacking in any way. Verse 5, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch. Well, now we see the bloodline. I will raise to David a righteous branch. We also see the character there. Did he use the word righteous? What is righteousness? 1 Yochanan 3:4, sin is the breaking of the law. Verse 7, righteousness is practicing the laws of Yahweh. There's no one on the face of the earth at this time, anywhere, any religion. There's no one that can do the job that we're doing right here in Abilene. No one. We're doing it. So here he says, Yahweh says, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I, through Yahshua, the Lamb, who sits at my right hand as high priest over the house of Yahweh, established by the man called the branch, whose Yahweh has tied enough donkey workers to where we can get this job to all the world and bring them here and feed them spiritual and physical food. Let's see. So verse 5, behold, the days come. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch and a king. Yahshua is the king, as we just read. King, he's also the Lamb of Yahweh. He died. This is the king that died for your sins and says, one day very soon I'm going to fasten my belt around me and I'm going to call you up and I'm going to come out and serve you. This is your king, brethren. Oh, Yahweh must be very pleased right now. A king will reign and succeed. He's going to succeed. Remember, Yahshua said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his house this time. His house wasn't complete with the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples laid a foundation that started with Matthew 1 and goes through chapter 22 of Revelation. That foundation is what we have written for us that the Vatican tried to keep forever away from us. But you notice Yahweh has it in our hands right now. What a miracle. Read the history of the Bible and you'll see. Well, here we do have the book of Yahweh, and we have the Lamb of Yahweh opening the seals where we can see them and see what's taking place and the work that is taking place prophesied by Yahweh. Well, here's the king and the righteous branch. That's in verse 5. And he will execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's our job. Execute, meaning bringing forth. Bringing forth. And then, after the beast has served his purpose, then Daniel also shows he's given to the fire. And the kingdoms will be given to us, the saints of Yahweh. In his day, this branch, in the day of this branch, Yada will be saved. Yes, there's some in the tribe of Yada that will be saved. And Israel will dwell safely. That's what we will bring it to. And this is the name that he will proclaim to them, Yahweh, our righteousness. There was a sign out front of called a press room now, but that was the original permanent sanctuary that we built back in the 80s. early 80s, and that's when the House of Yahweh was established. And all those dates now, I've got men working on them and women working on these dates and bringing forth the meaning of those dates and times. It's all, Yahweh had it all listed out for us, and it's actually shown in Strong's Concordance. And the gematria, it's not gematria, it's M-A, M-A, May, May. You know, you don't pronounce the month of May, a ma. It's May. Go back to Oklahoma for a few days. The gematria is shown in this, and it's absolutely amazing. When they start calling me and giving me this information, I say, man, this really needs to be got out quickly. Well, when? I say, well, I don't know. I'll put you on the list. But anyway, we're going to get it. But Yahweh is our righteousness. Well, on that sign, I was standing there with another elder, and the Abilene Reporter News took this, and I thought, boy, they're finally seeing that we're, you know, the great house of Yahweh. Well, they took that and they run a really great story on it, and all the news media said, the House of Yahweh members are dirty, nasty people that live with dogs and never let them out of their house. I am very pleased to say I'm the one they were speaking of. No, I do not live with dogs. This is the lies that Satan tells. Satan is a liar and the teacher of lies. And Abilene, as I called them, Abalone News, Abalone News put nothing but lies in there concerning the house of Yahweh. They hoped to destroy us. They were trying to destroy us. Well, the gates of hell didn't prevail. As you can tell, we're still taking it out. And the messages are coming back that they are hearing. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, verse 7, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives. Remember, Yahshua was speaking of this there when he referred to that. He was actually referring to this gathering and comparing the two, as I showed you in Luke 12, Exodus 12. If you compare those two, and I'll be bringing more of this hopefully before the feast, and I'll finish up during the feast this time. Lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, brought up, lives and brought up. Some information was given on that, but several sermons could be given on this verse right here, verse 7, of the training. We get bits and pieces, but if you'll put it together, what you saw, the way Yahweh, he raised Moshe, he protected him from the gods. He was actually raised by right under their nose, educated in the best education that the Egyptian world could offer, right there under their noses. And then he goes out and kills one of them and flees. And Yahweh trained him for 40 years and sent him back. And says, now you can go down there and get, and you will gather those people and you will train them and get them ready to come out so I can teach them my laws and we will try them and gather certain ones out of there, one of them named David. And to David, I'm going to raise up to David a righteous branch and a king. Oh, it's beautiful, brethren. If you just get all this story together where you can understand it and you see it, how it took place and how it's taking place today, and our job today, and know that Yahweh is with us in this. He's doing this through Yahshua, our high priest, and the house of Yahweh here on earth. He's doing this. It all had to be done by the Son of Man. Yahweh, Yahshua is the Son of Man who became the Son of Yahweh. by the impregnation of the laws of Yahweh. The Spirit, that's the Spirit of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, and become a full-born son of Yahweh. And that's the way you are too. Yes, you're begotten with the word of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, and when you change, as Yeshua did, then you will be an everlasting son of authority of Yahweh. Well, verse 8 now, here's what we're doing. This is our job. But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the, or it's to the protected place, not out of, and from the countries. Notice all the countries where he had driven them, and they will dwell in their own land. Safely, by the way, safely. They'll hunger and thirst no more, Yahweh said. I'm out of time. You probably couldn't stand anymore anyway, but we'll try to take up here the next time I speak. You could be studying this, or you won't forget where we left off. But you see how, surely you can see how interesting this is when you get it together, and it just fits right in with what we're doing right now. You know, we're reaching all the nations on earth right now, and they call me every once in a while and I say, you know, we can't, I just couldn't hold this any longer. I've got to tell you what's going on in Tokyo. And I said, Tokyo? Yeah, and the Netherlands and China, and of course, I'm always amazed every time they do this, because they're gathering. We're gathering these people right now. And when the time comes, yes, Yahweh says they're going to come over to you. We'll be prepared. You know, we're getting more prepared every day. And Yahweh will provide the rest. If you remember, I keep leaning on this scripture. Yeshua fed 5,000. And I've told Yahweh, I guess 100 times or more, I sure would like to do that. You know, when the laws were coming at me and had all these false charges against me, and then they said, the lawyer came and says, they want to dismiss all this. They want to dismiss all these charges. And then we were talking. We were just chatting back and forth, and I was talking about Yeshua and with the attorneys. And the attorney says, you know, he's the one that instituted this law of not pleading guilty or innocent. It's called nolo contendere. Nolo contendere. And he said, Yeshua is the one, that's the attorney. The attorney told me. And I said, hey, wait a minute. Are you sure about that? He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, could you show me in the law where he did this? And he said, oh, yeah, it's written in the law that this came from the Savior, he said. And I said, well, let's back up here a minute, because I want to do that same thing. And I said, this is probably my only chance of ever doing this. I said, I don't want these charges right here dismissed. I want to plead nolo contendere like Yeshua did. And he looked at me like he thought I was crazy, but I said, well, it can be done, right? And he said, yes. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to, you charge me with, you let this go right here. I want to plead nolo contendere like Yeshua did. And then I'll fulfill what he did. That is beautiful, brother. I'm gonna brag about that again in about 1,000 years, so get ready, you're going to hear it. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!